How's everyone doing? This is DBJ. This is the Cold World Podcast. We have made it to Friday. And on this short mini, I'm not going to call it an episode. This is more of a message for those of you that are familiar with Sade Robinson, young female that was killed by that white guy earlier this month. Well, they are having a candlelight vigil for Miss Robinson tonight, this Friday, at 2230 North Bremen Street. And that is the Kilbourn Reservoir Park, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. There will be a balloon release, a lantern release. There'll also be shirts available. Once again, Sade Robinson candlelight vigil tonight. This is justice for Sade. Let's paint the city pink. All are welcome. Everyone is welcome. White, black, everyone's welcome. So if you're white people and you like been heard about the case and you're like, oh, I'd like to go to that and pay my respects, but I don't know if they want us around. We do want you around. We need white people that care out here. We need to see you guys being live and present and caring about our issues. We want everyone there. Everyone is welcome. Once again, that is Friday, April 19th, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Kilbourn Reservoir Park, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's 2230 North Bremen Street. 2230 North Bremen Street. This is for Sade Robinson's candlelight vigil for the young black female that was killed by the white killer. So like I said, everyone's welcome. There will be a balloon release, lantern release. There will be shirts available. So come check that out. That is on April 19th, which is today, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Kilbourn Reservoir Park, address 2230 North Bremen Street. That's here on the east side, river west side, here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that is for Sade Robinson. Everyone's welcome. Everyone is welcome. Be there 6 p.m. Peace.
Happy Friday, everybody. Peace and blessings. Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Have a great weekend. Be safe, be mindful, and be kind.
Yeah, that was her name, Casey Hunt, from CNN, mm-hmm. The morning person. Yeah, she does a good-ass job. I could not remember her name yesterday.
And I could see her face.
Right. Good morning, everyone. We made it to Friday. We made it to Friday, y'all. Baby, you think this week went kind of quick? Because to me, it feels like it was just Monday.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, Friday. I'm not complaining. I'm happy. I'm loving it. I'm like, yes. But yeah, like, everyone, please get out tonight that, you know, if you're able to get out to the Sade Robinson vigil, candlelight vigil tonight from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Kilbourn Reservoir Park. That's at 2230 North Bremen Street here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Y'all go check that out, man. There's going to be a balloon release. There'll be a lantern release. There'll be t-shirts available. You know, it's also be a good opportunity for the community to, you know, mingle some more and have conversations and just build some more togetherness. You know, white people, you're welcome to come. Everyone, I'm not even trying to make this funny. Everyone is welcome. Because I know there's a chunk, a small segment of white people that want to get involved, but they're scared. Whatever that word is, like, or they don't know quite how to ask or how to get involved or whatever. You know what I mean? Just got to dive in. That's how you do it. You just show up to things. Ask questions. You know what I mean? And make connections with people. That's what you do. Yeah, so everyone's welcome. Once again, it's 2230 North Bremen Street, Kilbourne Reservoir Park. Candlelight visual from Miss Sade Robinson. So, and that's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So whoever can come out, please do. Like we said, there'll be a balloon release and some other things going on. There'll just be people there, you know, talking with each other and stuff. What you think, babe?
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I had ran into somebody on the elevator when I was letting Charlie out, and he was didn't even know what the hell was going on. I mean, I had to like kind of describe the case to him for a minute, and then he finally kind of kicked in, like, "Oh yeah, that." He was like, "Oh yeah," and then I was like, "Well, you know, she lived in this building." He's like, "Yeah," like. It's just crazy. Yeah, I was like, yeah, man. She lived in our building, blah, blah, blah. And I just told him and stuff that they're having the candlelight vigil there across the street at the park. And he was like, oh, okay. But it makes sense. You know, like I said, like if people are doing their thing, you know, and then you come home. If you're not popping on that news right then and there, you're probably not, because like you get home and then, like I said, if you have kids, you know, girlfriend, you know, if you're a man, you got a girlfriend, if you're a girl, you know, girl, you got a boyfriend, whatever situation you got going on, and then if you got kids, you got pets, you know what I mean, all that stuff, and then whatever you do to entertain yourself when you get home, whatever it is, you know, whether it's Netflix or YouTube or your favorite TV show, or if you just like me, I listen to a ton of music.
And some people don't watch the news.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
or
so if
like
you come home and do all that stuff, right, you're not really, you know what I mean? So you might, because I was like, well, how are people just not knowing? But it does make sense. But like for me, I like to multitask. You know, because like we were saying, I still watch my sports. I still watch all the entertainment stuff that we do and all the shows, but I still know what the fuck is going on around me. Like, I don't, that's just me though.
I feel like
I'm always find time for that.
I feel like we watch more national news. I get local news on my phone.
Right.
Yeah. Because I feel like we don't watch the local news a lot.
Just for the just first couple minutes,
you know, get the weather,
you know what I mean? But like, yeah, because I'm good on it. I'm tired of hearing about all the shootings right away. But although 58 is decent at not rolling all the murder and death out right away when you're just sipping on your coffee in the morning. But you know what I mean? I'm trying to put on thanks, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, though, baby. Let's see. Put some music until we leave.
Okay.
Put on some jazz. A little Miles Davis and Coltrane. Yeah, me and Michelle are just sitting here. Take this last day on. Yep, get together with the fam this Sunday for some breakfast. Love you, Mom. Love you, Jim. See y'all this weekend. Yeah, we're going to get together Sunday for some breakfast. Have we decided where we're going yet?
No.
Okay.
Gotten that far.
So Michelle's going to figure that out. And then, yeah. Oops. So a little jazz time. Little Miles Davis and John Coltrane. This is the Bootleg Series, Volume 6. It's from 1960. They were on tour together. Nice. And then they got, like, you can see their signatures and stuff. They must have took that from, like, the album cover and then they signed it for people or whatever. Yeah, Miles Davis, John Coltrane. And the Colectivo Coffee. Ooh. the Colectivo, the Black Sumatra with the elephant on it. Ooh, speaking of that animal, if you had to be stranded somewhere, right, in a dangerous situation, no matter, create whatever situation you want it to be, what two animals would you want with you?
That would protect me?
Right. Just to go, whatever danger it could be, whatever it is, you get two animals to help fight with you and help protect you.
Okay. I'm going to go with a male lion.
Okay.
Because they protect their territory and their pack.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Good one. Hell yeah.
And then.
That's a good ass one.
Probably a wolf as well.
Ooh.
For the same reasons. So I would have two animals that have the same mindset.
Got it. So
but they would get along. They'd be friends.
So that, yeah, from birth. So you'd have a lion and a wolf.
Yeah.
Nice. Mine would be silverback gorilla.
I was gonna say that's a good option as well. I was thinking that, but I chose the wolf instead.
And a tiger.
Okay.
Tiger and a silverback. And me.
Good morning, Bobby.
That trio. We're ready to roll out on anyone. Let's go. I put those two against any. Don't, unless an elephant. The only other two that could beat our, would be like, if someone would say like an elephant, or maybe like a polar bear. But I would, against any animal though, I would put a tiger up against any animal. Other than an elephant, obviously, because like the elephant's just too huge for. Although like them lions and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
There'll be, there are situations here and there, depending on the size of the elephant, them lions will try to take one down.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, that anyone that loves nature and animal shows, have probably seen the one where the, I think they were in India somewhere, and there was this Indian guy, and he was like on top of the elephant, you know, and he was just like kind of going through the forest and stuff. I don't know what he was doing or whatever. And then this tiger just came out of nowhere and like leaped up on the, you know what I mean?
Oh.
He tried to leap up and attack the man. You could see it, like the tiger was like flying through the air. Oh, nice. What does this message say, baby?
For the vigil gathering celebration.
Sorry, y'all. We got something more important to talk about right now.
Party City is going to donate 1,000 pink balloons and 1,000 fuchsia balloons.
Nice. So is that individual wanting people to go? Should I go? Should I stop there?
I wouldn't.
No? There's no point. There's a lot of people doing it already.
Doing who get the person who's coordinating. Mm-hmm.
I gotta I'm gonna call mama and tell her too, because I know she'll want to go. She dropped off some stuff at the vigil over on Farwell at the pizza shuttle. Mom took some flowers and a card and stuff like that, because I took a card over there. I hope people signed it, you know what I mean, because I know her family came over there and stuff, so I'm sure they gathered some of the things up. But yeah, so sorry about that. We were talking about animals and stuff, but then we got a message from somebody saying that Party City is going to donate a bunch of balloons and stuff like that. But yeah, everyone come out for that, please. That's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Kilbourne Reservoir Park. Yep. So that's, you know, basically right across the street and up the hill from us. We lived in the same building with Sade. That's another reason why this is important to us and hits close to home. So we'll be in attendance for that. And Hope to see people there. No bullshit. Don't nobody come with no kind of bullshit. I'ma just say this because I know black people are thinking it. Some black people got to be thinking it. I'll say it. If there's any white people out there, you know what I'm saying, or thinking about, like, because you know it's going to be a bunch of black people gathered and stuff like that. You know, you got some hate in your heart. And you know, don't come around with no bullshit. Don't come around with any bullshit.
Well, just anyone.
Just that's what I was about to say next. Like, just anyone. Nobody come through with any bullshit. Please. You know what I mean? Like, her family has been through enough. Community has been through enough. Because even though clearly we're only going through about 10% of what her family is, this is all relatable for us. I had a family member killed a couple years ago. I'm not going to get all into the details. So I understand what their family's going through. So with that, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get finished getting ready for work. And hopefully we'll see people at the vigil tonight. Until then, stay safe out here. And do something good for somebody. Enjoy your weekend. I don't know, what's the weather supposed to be like this weekend?
Haven't even gotten that far today.
Right, yeah. All right, so yeah, well, I guess we'll check the weather out. I think I'm going to make some toast or something real quick before we leave. And be looking for us this weekend. We'll be rolling more content out. So until then, stay safe. And we'll holler at y'all soon. Peace. Oh, and go Bucks. Playoffs start this weekend. Playoffs start this weekend.
And the other number three is racial dislocation. Keep them moving. People who are forever on the move through eminent domain, urbanization, urban renewal, gentrification, are here again, drying up the river. You build a dam 800 miles up, and the river seals off the water behind the dam. I mean, the dam is sealed off, the river is sealed off behind the dam. So that means that all the people down in the valley there, they don't get any water. They need water. They depend on the fishing industry. So now they have to come and work for you because there's no more water there, no more fish. And you give them minimum wage and a promise for the future as long as they look up to you. So they'll know they're completely dependent. But keep them moving. If a black person in the Northwestern Hemisphere starts getting that second generation house, then you come through and say you got to build a highway. That's the technique. Now these are things that you asked about how the white supremacists operate. These are the ways that they operate. The white sacrificing is the fourth. And this is, here again, all four of these things are for maximum sophisticated confusion among the victims. So you're not confused. You're keeping your victims confused. So you have white sacrifices, meaning it's kind of parallel to the racial showcasing. But these people in this case are white. Like in any army, any military operation, you know you're going to have some losses. So some white people are written off under the system of white supremacy.
The white trash.
And a lot of white people are aware of this.
The white poor.
Like, but they're told that this is the cost of doing business. Just like a person who goes into the army and knows full well you might get killed. But it goes with the territory of trying to defend your bigger operation. So white sacrifices mean you'll have some white, more and more white people on park benches. More and more white people begging on streets. They will be greatly visible. But what you won't pay attention to, because black people never pay much attention to what white people are doing. We just watch each other. See, they know that. You'll be passing millions of white people who are doing well on any city street. And for the handful of white people who have fallen through the cracks, you might say, sitting in front of the subways, are begging in front of these seen doing that, up under the bridge and all like that. It will give the illusion that it's not about race, that white supremacy is officially out of business. So there will be more of these white sacrifices, and they will be greatly visible. But compared to the number of white people who will be prospering, it will be very negligible worldwide. Now those are the four maximum sophisticated confusion elements.
Hey, baby.
Yes.
So I feel like now I think I'm gonna go down a little rabbit hole of dirty officers planting evidence on people. Let's see. Go on the YouTubes. See if we can find a couple. I ain't even trying to make it racial. A shitty cop is a shitty cop. A shitty firefighter is a shitty firefighter. A shitty doctor. I'm going to do some of those too. Pull up shitty doctors. Just all that stuff. So let's see what this first one is.
Baltimore police are investigating video that appears to show an officer planting evidence in a drug case. He places a can in a trash can. In a trash-filled lot, seemingly unaware his body camera is recording.
Damn.
Later, he retrieves the can, which contained a bag of white capsules. Prosecutors have now dropped charges against the man arrested for drugs.
Oh. So, this is TPO, Tallahassee Police Department, Officer Kirsten Oliver, white female with glasses. This is super recent too, baby.
Okay.
March 7th of 2024. Tallahassee Department Officer Oliver in deposition highlights an evidence planting DUI arrest. So this white lady is planting dope on people. So let's see what happens. This white lady's up here lying through her teeth.
Do you not remember? I don't remember the exact place. And you told Officer Moose that the bottle was open? I don't remember my exact...
I bet she remembered that wine on the way home.
What my thought process was.
I bet she did.
I don't remember the conversation. So you don't remember discussing indicators of impairment that you saw in Mr. Moose? I don't remember discussing that. Did Officer Moose...
She don't remember shit. Okay, here's another one. Another white officer. This is in Texas. I think Pasco County is in Texas. Is it in Texas, Pasco County, baby? It sounds like that's probably in Texas somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's planting dope on people. So check this out.
ABC Action News reporter Eric Waxer live with the unusual series of events that
unusual
one deputy's downfall. Eric?
Hold up. That's one thing I'm tired of. You heard how that white lady said unusual? She was about to say how it's unusual when a cop does some bullshit. So basically, she's still in the narrative of there's only a few bad cops. I'm so sick of that term. We can just say there's some bad cops now. Because there's more than a few. And my mother was a cop, so I don't want to hear, oh, dudes, my mother was a damn cop. Not a damn cop, but you know what I'm saying? She didn't, it was just a job for her. She didn't take that shit all, like, you know what I mean? She had two kids, and she needed a good-ass job so she could raise us. So, but some of them cops, they'll be, man.
Hey, Wendy, that deputy's name is Stephen LeBlanc. He'd worked here at the Pasco Sheriff's Office for less than 2 years. Investigators say he was targeting a Newport Richey man across the line.
Do your job. Don't do our job. We'll do street justice. We don't need him.
The deputy who once patrolled this neighborhood is now out of a job and could face criminal charges. Denise Marie Rock is all for it.
I'm very excited. Because if you're going to be a law enforcement officer, be a law enforcement officer. Don't be a crook, don't be a dirtbag, and fight for my rights as a citizen.
The sheriff's office is accusing Deputy Stephen LeBlanc.
And that was a white lady saying that. But she looked like she was a poor lady.
In November, when LeBlanc was arresting this man, Thomas Parisi, for spray painting a wall with anti-police sentiment.
Our information relays that LeBlanc personally would tell people, I'm going after this person. I have to go after him.
Investigators say LeBlanc had it out for Parisi, so he got drug paraphernalia from another neighborhood drug user. Two spoons, a syringe, and a crack pipe, and put it in Parisi's bag.
No matter how much these offenders may irritate us, get under our skin, and we want to go out there and take action.
See, dude's still talking like he could have left that shit off. He don't need to say that. No matter how they get under our skin, dude, don't nobody. All that shit is irrelevant, dude.
For Sheriff 2016. You think he was just sort of teasing the deputy by spray painting that on his own?
Aggravating everybody. Yeah, aggravating everybody. And do I think the deputy had it out for him? I would say absolutely, but we all did because he's a jerk.
Never. And that's a poor white lady. She was missing three teeth, baby. And those are the ones that I'm saying, the white rich people, they don't like white poor people because they think they're lazy too, just how they think black people are and shit. You know what I mean? Because they, you know what, they might, not in all cases, but I think in some cases, white people that got a lot of money and shit that act all like super bougie and stuff and want to separate themselves from the white poor ones, I think they don't like them more than they don't like black people sometimes that are poor and shit. Because they look at them like, you're white, how the hell ain't you doing better? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They'll be looking at them because they expect, in white people's mind, they expect a lot of black people to just be poor and shit. They expect us to be that way. But when they see a white person lazy and all bummed out and ain't doing or whatever, down on their luck, they don't like that. They hate that shit. Just like they don't like when they see black dudes sleeping with white women and dating white women. It's some white dudes that just hate it. They hate that shit. And they keep it tucked inside, though. All right, back to this.
Nevertheless, investigators say that the deputy actually changed his mind after planning that evidence and did not go through with the setup. His own body camera actually helped do him in. Live in Newport Richey, Eric Waxler, ABC Action.
Dang.
All right, Eric, thank you.
Let's see. We'll find a couple more. Like I said, I don't care who's doing it. I'm just rolling them out on the YouTube, but it's been a lot of white fellas. Okay, this next white lady officer has been assigned a desk duty. I think that's it. Unless there's more. I'll check for some updates later, but check this out. She was going nuts. She was having a racist tirade, I guess. So we'll find out together. Check it out. This is in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Profanity-laced rant sent veteran Cincinnati police officer Rose Valentino to desk duty on April 5th.
No, your racism is ridiculous, white lady.
To fill out a report when she noticed vehicles lined on the street to pick up students from school. She activated her lights and quickly became angry when they didn't move.
Is she gonna f***ing just sit there?
Body and dash camera video just released by CPD shows what happened next.
F***ing dumb. Oh, fucking hate him so much. God, I hate this fucking world.
After rolling up the window, she uses the N-word. Valentino told investigators a black student gave her the finger, which led to her outburst. She was one of four officers profiled by WNWT and featured in a nationally televised reality show in 2011, Police Women of Cincinnati.
Never a dull moment. You go into every situation as if it's the first time, you know, you've dealt with that sort of thing.
In Valentino's most recent performance review, dated after the rant, she was complimented as a hard worker.
See, you know, I'm going to stop it for a minute. See, that's the same thing. Like, sometimes when you get these young, white, female police officers, they come out the academy, and some of them ain't ever been around no black people or nothing like that, and then they start working in our communities and shit, and they already don't like us, or they have, like, a stereotypical outlook. So they come into the job already, you know what I'm saying? And the same thing with like certain parole officers, they'll be getting fresh out of college, that'll be their first job, and they'll be having, they ain't been around a lot of black people, they'll be going to college way up north and shit like that, or out of state, and they come here, get a job, you know what I'm saying, they start locking people up, same thing, you know what I'm saying, same thing with some of the white school teachers, ain't ever been around, ain't lived in a black neighborhood or nothing like that, and they get a job around black kids, and then they start acting like they know what black kids need.
Uses good judgment. A supervisor recommended she study for the promotion exam. In January 2019, this official reprimand says Valentino showed body cam footage from a homicide at the Glenway Pony Keg to family members while having dinner at the casino. In March 2020, she was arrested off duty. Her sister and brother-in-law accused her of pushing and hitting them with a closed fist and using an umbrella to repeatedly strike a vehicle. She pled guilty.
She's got a drinking problem.
A misdemeanor, and was ordered to attend an anger management assessment.
Oh yeah, she looks angry.
She admitted she did not have control of her emotions here. Valentino told Internal Investigations, "This is a hard job, and I was getting to a point where I was really being affected by it. I've been on for 14 years.
She should be fired, man.
Thanks.
Okay, they're doing more. I guess they're doing more than just eating corn and watching Caitlin Clark down there in Iowa. These cops are tripping here. Check this one out.
This one stings, and it irritates just about everybody in this building.
Back in December, Des Moines police held a press conference to announce allegations that senior officer Joshua Judge and Tyson Toy planted drug evidence. We've now learned those allegations are true.
That's just flat out wrong, and we're not going to condone anything like that.
Polk County Attorney John Sarcone confirms that Kyle Weldon, seen here in a 2015 booking photo, is now exonerated. Officers arrested Weldon near this Des Moines.
You know they hated that little white boy out there in Iowa selling dope, and you say.
Container with a rock-like substance in his pants pocket, which tested positive for meth. We've now learned Judge and Toy planted that evidence.
Not actually planted on him, but actually just put in the case file. And it was methamphetamine.
Weldon pleaded guilty last February and spent 32 days in jail.
Damn.
Monday, a judge dismissed the drug
charge. Dude probably lost his job and shit and all that shit. Probably lost his little apartment if he had an apartment.
Misconduct by law enforcement.
We feel your frustration. We do a lot within this community to foster trust.
Sergeant Ryan Doty says the Des Moines Police Department is disgusted and right away handed over any case Judge and Toy ever touched to the Polk County Attorney's Office to investigate.
We're talking hundreds and hundreds of cases.
Weldon's case is the first and only confirmed evidence planting case right now, and Des Moines Police hope it's the last.
There's definitely more.
Like this happens, that puts that trust in jeopardy, and everybody in this building takes that seriously. And everybody in this building is offended by that. It's our mission to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
One more out of Wisconsin, Kenosha.
A 12 News investigation. The case against three accused killers is up in the air in Kenosha after a bombshell. A Kenosha police officer admits planting evidence in the case. As 12 News Colleen Henry investigates, any case the officer worked is now in jeopardy.
A bombshell here in Judge Schrader's courtroom. A former police officer took the stand and admitted he planted evidence in a homicide case against...
Damn!
Jaw drop when you heard this?
Well, it certainly did. It really strikes at the heart of the criminal justice system.
See what I'm saying? A dude would have been convicted. You know, it would have been hell for him to try to get out.
When he came in the trial of Joseph Brantley, he, Brandon Horak, and Marquise Tibbs are charged with killing a man in a drug deal. The other two had already entered pleas. His lawyer says they didn't know the case involved a dirty cop.
These are facts that should have been known to the defendant Tibbs long before he entered his plea.
The law requires prosecutors to reveal such information. Terry Rose says he learned about it from another suspect's lawyer, not the DA. DA Robert Zaff declined to talk to 12 News.
But he doesn't have any comment yet because the case is pending.
Kenosha Police Chief says he told the prosecutor shortly after he learned Officer Kyle Barrs admitted planting an ID and a bullet in the case.
Damn.
With the DA. We talked about the attorneys, the cases, and full disclosure. So, you know, what occurred, I can't tell you that.
Chief John Morrissey says Barrs quit the night before he was to be interrogated about the case. Barrs' actions could jeopardize other cases he worked on.
We pulled all of the cases that he did evidence work on to see what those cases are, what his involvement was.
Having a good time. The boy worked. Where's Dahmer when I need him? Because you know that white man was eating niggas, wasn't he? Tastes just like chicken. Having a good time. The boy worked at a chocolate factory. That should have told somebody something. All he found in his icebox was mayonnaise and Louisiana hot sauce. He was having a good time. Young white boy, they'd have brought him in a cage chained with tape on his mouth. Don't go near him.